Matthew, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Not a lot of organizations have conducted research surrounding campus free speech. Why exactly did your institution choose to put focus on this issue?
Look, free speech is really fundamental to what it means to live in a free society. And universities in particular should be bastions of free debate. So we take interest in ensuring that our publicly funded institutions of higher education are able to fulfill their goal and fulfill their mission. And that's something the IPA has been very passionate about. In particular, free speech is important at universities because it's through free speech and debate that you're able to contest scientific ideas and try to find truth and progress and reason that moves society forward. But it's also essential for students as well. Students should be able to hear a wide variety of perspectives and learn and grow as a result, and they shouldn't have their speech restricted. So I think it's actually an extremely important issue.
So free speech, it's not really an entitlement here in Australia. It's more of an American policy. So why is the focus on universities rather than the Australian law as a whole?
Well, so I'll make 2 points there. I mean, firstly, although Australia doesn't have the explicit First Amendment rights to free speech, we do have the common law principles surrounding free speech, which we've inherited from our English traditions. And the liberal basic principles of free speech, as well as constitutionally the implied right to political free expression. In terms of universities, well, universities in many ways are an extension of government power. Universities are established by government legislation, they're heavily regulated, and you can only establish a university with government permission, as well as the fact that universities receive almost $14 billion every year from the government. So these are public institutions and therefore I think should be accountable to the public, and when universities are making decisions related to the speech, there's a strong argument to say that they're making those decisions effectively exercising state power. So any exercise of state power I think should absolutely be accountable and is very important. The IPA also does a lot of other work more broadly on free speech in Australian society, but universities I suppose an interesting place to focus on in recent history just because of the nature of both university policies and recent instances on campus.
Well, what are universities doing, according to your report, that are stifling free speech?
So the Free Speech on Campus audit is analysis of the formal institutional state of freedom expression on campus. So the report has two distinctive focuses. So the first focus is that it's the only analysis of university policies. So Australia's universities maintain a broad cross-section of policies on lots of different issues, but a number of these policies touch on issues related to speech and what can and can't be said on campus. And there are a number of policies that prevent speech for hurting feelings and being offensive. There are universities that have policies that forbid sarcasm. There's universities with say, for example, in a social media policy that you're not allowed to criticise the university as a student of that institution. So there's an extensive analysis in the audit of some of these problematic university policies. And secondarily to that, there's also an analysis of what have been the recent instances on campus.
Well, following on to what you're saying, your report does say university policies prohibit a wide variety of speech, including insulting and unwelcoming comments and offensive language. Now, your report also says that they recommend abolishing policies that limit free speech. Should universities abolish preventing offensive language?
I think it's important to comprehend what it means to have a restriction on offensive language. So obviously no one should go out of their way to be offensive, to be intolerant, to say something that is wrong and wrong-headed. The problem is, though, offensiveness is something that's often offensiveness is often taken and not necessarily given. So people can find certain speech offensive when it's not intended to. It is offensive to hear an idea, or can be offensive to hear an idea with which you fundamentally disagree. Now, that doesn't mean that that speech should be restricted, though. I think that's the key distinction here. Just because somebody happens to find something to be offensive doesn't mean that that speech might not also be a contribution to debate and something that should be heard and listened to and then responded to. So that the best response to offensive speech is to try to have a better argument in response. And some Australian universities choose not to try to restrict offensive speech, but unfortunately many Australian universities do restrict offensive speech, and they should reform their policies to more specifically target speech that is actually harassing or discriminating against an individual rather than just merely being offensive, which I think is far too low a threshold on which to limit free speech.
So we should be keeping the policies that limit, say, sexism and racist type language. Is that different from free speech?
I mean, these things obviously are difficult concepts in terms of how you define sexism, how you define racism. I think you could have a broad policy against bullying that would prevent someone being explicitly racist and harassing and bullying without necessarily just saying something that is offensive. Obviously, sometimes these issues are contested about what is bullying and what is making a genuine political point. But just the mere causing of offence, I think, is too low a threshold. So any responsible university will have a policy clearly defined against bullying, but that doesn't need to. The bullying policy doesn't need to restrict offensive speech.
Based on their code of conduct, Sydney University was ranked first in terms of regulated speech. Even though looking at this report, the freedom policy is met very positively. How do you reconcile this? What exactly does that mean?
So because the report has, as I said earlier, those two focuses. So one of the focuses is on the speech codes element of it, the policies element of it, but the secondary focus is on the incidences and actions. So University of Sydney has had quite a number in recent history of incidences that are concerning from a free speech perspective. So, for example, the riots would have to be called to University of Sydney in response to a protest against Bettina Art, and there was some quite aggressive attempts to try to restrict her capacity to speak. In the past, the student union tried to ban the screening of the Red Pill documentary. Last year, during the same-sex marriage debate, there was quite an aggressive protest that turned violent against the no stall on campus. So the rating of the University of Sydney reflects these instances. Even just this week, the University of Sydney is reportedly close to sacking a lecturer by the name of Tim Addison for an allegedly offensive speech. So the University of Sydney ranks very poorly in terms of instances, even though on paper it might appear like some of their policies are better. There are some concerning instances at the University of Sydney that push up their ranking position.
Right. Well, that's just kind of going back to the protesting, though. Isn't that a form of free speech in itself?
Absolutely. So what one should be absolutely free to protest on campus, to object to the presence of any speakers one likes. The problem is, though, when the protest intrudes on other people's capacity to speak, it actually becomes censorious. So if you stand outside an event, you protest, even if you go into the event and ask a few questions and you question the speaker, and that's your form of protest, that should be very welcome. When you're physically harassing people trying to get into the event and you're trying to limit the capacity of the speaker to be heard, that is an attack on someone else's free speech. So the right to protest is absolutely there, but that doesn't necessarily mean a right to intrude and interrupt others.
Right. Well, I mean, that's all the time we've got for right now. But thank you so much for joining us this morning, Matthew.
Thank you for the discussion.